there'll be that many sermons that people all over the world last month from 66 countries every week now. Then sitting here generally is about 200. We didn't run our van today. I told Fred to skip the van today. We didn't run the van today. That van's really important to us because that van gets all of the 5 van loads of bread that we get every week. It has lots to do with our ability to feed the 2,000 meals to the homeless and the poor that we feed out of here every week. And so that van is very, very important to us. And if you get that van sideways, it'll roll over every time. And so we really just don't take any chance about that van on the snow and ice. So that's where about 75 people here, generally here, are not here at this moment. I want to thank y'all who are missionaries of this church, and that's really what a lot of you are sitting here this morning, that are the missionaries that helped this church here go on. Because you have sense enough to know, the eyes of your understanding have been opened, you have sense enough to know that you cannot convert someone with a 15 or 20 minute cool whip lesson. You cannot do that. And so we don't have that around here. We teach advanced Bible study at this church, and we teach it every Sunday. You can bet on it. And we have a huge, huge audience, not only on the internet. I want you to look at, we send out 100 CDs a week. So that is 3,000 people every week are getting teaching from this church. And we haven't even talked about the radio. We've got an hour between 11 and 12. We've got an hour between 5 and 6. And an hour between 9 and 10 that the radio is broadcast to all of North Texas. 7 million people in our broadcast area. And I want to tell you, we'll never know how many there are out there. We'll never know. Tommy Wells came from the radio. Very few come here from the radio. They hear us on the radio and they go to the church craft nearest their home, and we encourage them to do it. But we get the chance to teach them, and that's what it's all about. So I want to thank y'all for being missionaries in this church with us. We also have an hour to Abilene that we are broadcasting between 12 and 1 o'clock every Sunday in Abilene. You think Abilene would be the last place on earth for the Native Church Christ broadcast, but it's really the most important place. You know, our university out there has kind of gone sideways, and so we're trying to help them, and we're hoping that some students will start listening and start asking some Bible questions in class, and that that university would go back to studying the Bible out there. Yes. And we love those brethren, and we want to encourage our people in Abilene to tell everybody about the Main Street Church Christ, because you can do it too. As you're fixing to find out, we train our own preachers too. Y'all know that I've had surgery, and I'm not able to preach last week or this week. I'm fixing to go home and might not preach next week. I don't know yet. We'll see. But Manuel just took his final exam, mailed it in this this past week. And Manuel's making a fine preacher. Eric's a fine preacher. If Chevy ever decides that he wants to go back to preaching to the Spanish people, we've got a Spanish minister here. We've trained all manner of ministers. Yesterday, I got a call from Diane Cumberbatch in Montserrat in the West Indies. And she listens to us every week, and she needs study material. And I called Christian Products and had some study material sent to her. And so it's just an example of how this church reaches out and touches all over the world. We take the Great Commission seriously, and I want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. You're special to me. You're all people. I want to ask that you continue to pray for me, because this is a work that I'm not worthy to do. I'm the greatest of sinners that God's forgiven, but it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's the greatest thing I've ever done in my whole life, to be able to preach the gospel to the ungodly and teach as many people as we do. So I'm going to turn over to you our great minister in fixing to take over one of these days for me, Brother Manning. So y'all want to give Eric a big welcome too, because he's a great minister too.
Thank you, Brother Kelly. Really appreciate what you do, not just for us, what you do for God. I don't know sometimes whether to be happy or sad, but whether in joy or in grief, I will preach the word of God. God help me. Now with that, if y'all would please bow with me in prayer. Can everybody hear me okay? Dear Lord, mighty God, great King, heavenly Father, Master of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, the God of many names, the God most high, we thank you and we praise you, O Lord, for this day of worship. We thank you, dear Lord, for giving us the opportunity, O Lord, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and help us to do so. We ask, dear God, that you help us and strengthen us, O Lord, with our many burdens, that we may do what is pleasing in thy sight. Please be with us, dear Lord, and help us, O Lord, to boldly preach the word of God, even the gospel, for the winning of the souls of Christ and the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the church, for the glory of God. Let us all say amen. I'm going to start. I'll probably have to speed up a little bit. But I thought it best to do mainly reading. Can't go wrong with the word of God. Read that word of God.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about the faith of Abraham as of the faith of Jesus Christ. And what about faith? Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. If you would, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Starting with verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. The word seed used here is the word Zerah, and that is singular. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be, and that is Zerah. I hear a lot of bumping. Okay, let's see. Because I want you to be able to hear me. Okay. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham means exalted father. Abram, means exalted father. And his name was changed to Abraham. If y'all would turn with me to Genesis chapter 17, starting with verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram. I keep saying Abraham. I'm going to say this again. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Perfect. Is it possible? Can we be perfect? The answer is yes. But not by ourselves, by God. Amen. I'm going to rephrase the question. Is God not able to make you perfect? Amen. Yes. Perfect upright before God. Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. In the Old Testament, it says to be perfect. In the New Testament, it says to be perfect. And we ought to be perfect. We ought to be in Christ. That's what he's saying. Verse 2, we are back in Genesis chapter 17, verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Abram's name is changed to Abraham. Now I don't have to worry about mixing up the two. I'll say Abraham from henceforth. Turn with me to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. This word tempt, you know, in James 1:13, where it says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Well, neither tempted he any man with evil. And here, God is proving, see, God proves us, and he proves us simply by his commands. He gives us commands, and he proves us to see whether we will obey his commands. And we ought to obey his commands. That's faith. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. The word Moriah is the same as Mori, which means the place of instruction. If you look in different books and you search these things out, you can find that some books are wrong. There's one book I looked at, it said Moriah like Meribah. But it doesn't mean Meribah. Meribah means bitterness. So if you look at three different sources and you find three different things, what do? You have to look and search until you find a more reliable source. So Moriah is the same as Mori, which means a place of instruction. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I will show thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, his mule, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him, of which God had told him. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ near your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads of hundreds of songs and sermons. Back to verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him of. And Abraham took, verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 4, very important verse. Genesis 22 and 4. Can you turn back to that, please? Very important verse. Look, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. On the third day, Remember the first day, if this is the third day, that the first day God told Abraham to slay his son. So in Abraham's eyes, Isaac was already dead. And then he was already dead for 2 days, if you understand what I'm saying. So here it is, the third day. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, the mule, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh. This is the first time the word Jehovah is used in the Bible, as opposed to Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, when God revealed himself to Moses as Jehovah. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself I have sworn, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed, this is the word again, Jireh, and it's singular. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Last sentence again. And thy seed, singular, shall possess the gate of his enemies, singular. The seed they are speaking of is Christ. So how is it that one seed can be as the stars of heaven? How is it in Genesis 22:17? That one seed can be as the sand by the seashore? How is it in Genesis 28 and 14 that one seed can be as the dust of the earth? It's simple as the bride of Christ. In Genesis, I think it's 2, and 25, where it says, is that right? We got that right? But it's not in your PowerPoint, but I'm going to turn there and read that to you. Where it talks about a man and his wife. I'm sorry, Genesis 2 and 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The one, the word one is ehad, which means one in unity. So we are one in Christ, though we be many. Everybody can understand that so far. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, Hebrews 11. Starting with verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure, receiving Christ in a figure. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. Now, if you would, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Starting with verse 1. Here in this book of Romans speaks on faith without works. In Romans chapter 4, a lot of people misunderstand this scripture. Starting with verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they, this is verse 7, we are in Romans chapter 4, verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And this is the gotten from Psalms 32, verses 1 and 2, where it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Back to verse 9. We are in Romans chapter 4, verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. Verse 10, how was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, not to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles, to everyone who believes. The promises are to everyone who believes in Christ. As Acts chapter 2, verse 39, it says, for the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord may call. We go back to Romans chapter 4, verse 12. And the father of circumcision, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Where it says walk in the steps, that implies action. That implies a doing. Faith is an action word. Walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. This implies action, the act of doing, the work of obedience. If you would, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 10. chapter 5, starting with verse 7. For we walk, purge out therefore the old leaven. Did I say 2 Corinthians? Okay. Now I got to get it right myself. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, starting with verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things of his own, the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. So what was the Apostle Paul talking about all throughout Romans chapter 4? Well, he was talking about the works of the law. What happened is, Paul is talking to Romans and they're Christians. Paul is talking to Christians. And these Christians were already baptized. They were already baptized into Christ. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also, but to that also which is of faith, of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. In verse 16, you're going to notice that it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. We are saved by God. And it is the gift of God that we're saved. But through faith, if we don't obey, then how can we be saved? Faith is obedience to the word of God because we believe. I'm going to turn to the book of James, starting with chapter 2. God bless you. Starting with verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, though thou hast faith, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? This is James chapter 2, verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought was formed with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed in God. Abraham believed God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Turn with me back to the book of Romans, chapter 4. And I don't know where it begins in this PowerPoint, but I'm going to start with Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Okay. This is Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You know, there are three words that are used: counted, reckoned, and imputed. And those all three are the same word. It's the word logizomai, as I said before, if I said it before. And that means to be accredited to. Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's the gospel. And I'm going to go to Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 3, 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul is speaking to Christians who have already obeyed the gospel, and they were all baptized already. If you look at Matthew, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 22. If I can get there quick enough. There are those that say baptism is not essential. But baptism is very essential, and essential means necessary. Jesus says here, Matthew 20, I'm going to start with verse 20. I don't know if you have it in the PowerPoint. Matthew 20, starting with verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Notice he says cup as pertaining to the Lord's Supper. And he says baptism. You know, the two main things that people deny are baptism and partaking of the Lord's Supper. Those are the two main things that people deny. We must be baptized. We must be baptized. Baptism is a representation of the burial. Look at this. Jesus said this, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Well, he was already baptized in John's baptism in water, and he was already anointed with the Holy Spirit. So what baptism is he talking about? What baptism is he speaking of? The baptism of his death. And we must be baptized in water. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As a representation of the burial of Christ. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You got to believe that gospel. John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you got to add faith to that belief. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you must confess. Confess what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth, with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10 and 9. And then after that, you must repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. At the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth he all men everywhere to repent. And we must be baptized in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If any of you are not a Christian, you can become one right now. You can march forward and obey the gospel. If any of you are in need of prayer, we have response cards in the pews. If you would like to fill them out and bring them forward, and we will pray for you. Why don't you do that right now while we stand and sing?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to him I
Jesus, take me.